Good morning. It is good to be with you guys this morning. Just so you know, a lot of you have asked, some of you might be wondering, if you knew Ricky, he did have some pneumonia this week. He was in the hospital a little bit overnight, but he's fine. I was going to preach anyway the next couple weeks, so that is not why he's not here. He's back on his feet, and he is doing good. So, in case you were curious about that, we're going to be in 1 John to start off briefly. We'll spend most of our time in Luke chapter 10. So if you want to go to either one of those, you can do that now. I read a story this week. The guy telling this, his name is Bob Goff. He's just a really good storyteller. And him and his wife, they live by the ocean. They have a house that their porch faces out. And I assume, like most people, if you have a house where your porch faces the ocean, they spend most evenings on that porch looking out. There's a path that runs between them and the beach that a lot of people walk on. Many people, you know, run on and enjoy it, all that sort of thing. So Bob and his wife, they spend a lot of time on that porch waving to people as they go by. And one day they're sitting there and they're waving at people, and this young man stops and he waves at him and doesn't move on, though. He keeps standing there, and so Bob waves again, and the young guy waves back, so Bob's like, well, maybe he wants to talk to me, I don't know. So he makes his way down and says, hey, my name's Bob, it's nice to meet you. And the first words out of this guy's mouth is like, hey, my name's Ryan, and I'm in love. Bob's like, all right, congratulations, like, good for you. He's like, I was wondering, I walk by your house all the time. You know, you have this beautiful backyard, this great scenery around. I was wondering if I could propose to my girlfriend in your backyard. You know, Bob's kind of amused by this. He's like, sure, I mean, yeah, complete stranger, yeah, that's fine, that'll work. And so Ryan, you know, this makes him ecstatic. He, you know, skips off down the path, and the next day he comes back again and does the same thing. He's waving, Bob walks down, hey, Ryan, how's it going? And Ryan says, hey, you remember how I was going to propose in your backyard? Bob's like, yeah, I kind of remember that. And he's like, well, I was wondering, beforehand, could me and my girlfriend eat dinner on your porch? And, I mean, Bob is just, you know, he's amused by this whole thing. He's like, sure, yeah, why not? Ryan skips off. Pattern repeats itself. Ryan shows up. Hey, I was wondering, could like 20 of my friends come and serve us dinner while we eat? And, you know, Bob's like, I've already got some strangers in my house. Why not? Yeah, 20 people, it sounds good. And then Ryan says, I was also wondering, maybe afterwards we could like clear the table and clear the chairs and set up some speakers. Maybe we could dance on the porch. And you know, Bob's the type of guy, he's like, yeah, this sounds awesome. Let's do this. One more time, Ryan comes back. He's like, hey, you remember all these plans we're going to do? I was wondering, do you have a boat? Bob's like, I do have a boat, actually. You know, it's docked right down there. And Ryan's like, well, hey, after we eat and after we dance on the porch, I was wondering, maybe could I propose on the boat? You know, could you drive it off into the bay a little bit and we'd be under the stars, you know, and I could pop the question right there. Bob says, that sounds great. Yeah, let's do it. But Bob actually, he took it a step farther, and he started to make some plans of his own that Ryan didn't know about. He didn't fill him in till the day of. Well, the day comes and Ryan and his girlfriend are making their way down the path. They've walked this path before. But this time it's a little different. They turn and they start to walk towards this house. And Ryan's girlfriend is like, Ryan, what are you doing? We don't know these people. We can't just walk up into their yard. He's like, no, it's okay. Trust me. So they go. They have dinner. Their friends serve them. You know, they do a really good job. They clear the table and they dance together a few times on the porch. You know, it's just awesome evening. And as the evening starts to draw to its natural close, they start to make their way down the path again. But instead of going back where they came from, they start to make their way onto this boat. And Ryan's girlfriend at this point, you know, she's really curious. She's like, Ryan, you need to tell me what's going on. He's like, just trust me. Just come on. So they get on the boat, and they drive out to where they had scheduled to dock it, you know, out in the bay. And just in case Ryan was having trouble getting his words out, he had asked those 20 friends plus some others to come, and they spelled out, will you marry me, in candlelight on the shore. But Ryan was able, he was able to get the words out, and you know, he gets down on one knee and says, hey, I love you, will you marry me? Well, here's a part of the plan that Bob had put into motion that Ryan didn't know about. After Ryan left the last time, Bob called the Coast Guard. He said, "Hey, here's what's going to happen. Would you be willing to like join in this, you know, this kind of caper with me?" And the Coast Guard's all in. And so while all this is going on, while Ryan and his date are walking up onto the boat, while he's getting down on his knee to propose, the firefighting vessel of the Coast Guard has pulled in next to Bob's boat. And after Ryan's girlfriend says yes, Bob gives the signal to the captain that they had set up beforehand. And the Coast Guard firefighting vessel shoots off every water cannon that the ship has. And this wave of mist just starts falling all over Ryan and his girlfriend, with his friends on the shore watching and spelling out, "Will you marry me?" in candlelight, after they've danced under the stars and after they've had this meal together. And it looks like this scene that belongs in like a Nicholas Sparks book, right? But it's not that. It's real life. It's happening to Ryan and his girlfriend, because Ryan understands one thing about love, and that is that love is at its best when it's shown with actions. See, Ryan very easily could have brought his girlfriend down the path, got down on one knee, said, "Honey, I love you. Will you marry me?" And he would have accomplished what he wanted to do, right? She still probably would have said yes. They would have been engaged. They would have went on and lived their lives. But love requires a lot more than just words. Love requires action. We have to show people that we love them. And Ryan understood that. That's why he puts this elaborate plan in place, to show his girlfriend that love is a lot more than just me saying that I care for you. Ryan showed his love by putting together this crazy scheme. 1 John 3:16 through 18 says this: "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Some of your translations might say, "but in action and in truth." See, John writes to the church this letter, 1 John. It's really basically all about kind of getting back to the basics. He writes this letter reminding them these are what the foundations of Christianity is about. And one of the things that he hits on is that to love people, you have to show them. You can't just tell them. Love is something that requires action. Jesus puts it this way in Luke chapter 10. It's a story that most of you are probably very familiar with. And what has happened, a man has came up to him and he said, "Jesus, you need to tell me, who's my neighbor? Who do I need to show love to?" And this is Jesus' response: "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'" So we're going to look at 4 truths this morning about love in action. The first truth is this: love in action is sacrificial. If you look at the Samaritan, he comes, he sees this need, he stops, he gets off of his animal, and he goes and he starts to clean up the guy's cuts. He starts to bandage him up, and he uses his own oil, his own wine, that was like their medication in that day. He uses his own possessions to take care of this guy, and then he takes him and pays this innkeeper to look after him for a few days, money out of his own pocket. The Samaritan sacrifices his money, his possessions. But what he also sacrifices, and it's something that's probably a lot harder for some of us to do, he sacrifices his time. This road that Jesus would be referencing, it's not one that you would just be out walking on. The Samaritan, I mean, it was a road they used to get places. He had a plan. He was going somewhere to do something. And he paused, put his plans aside, and helped out the Samaritan. I think for a lot of people, time is a lot more hard to give up than money, especially our culture. I mean, we're just always so busy, right? After school, you're running kids to practices and other activities and all these different things, and people are constantly on the go and constantly on the move. And for some of you, probably thinking about adding something to your schedule, taking time out to help someone else, it's probably giving you like a slight anxiety attack in your chair right now. But that's the way love in action is. And the truth is, if we're too busy for other people, then there's a pretty good chance we're not making much time for God in our life either. Love in action is also humble. The Good Samaritan, he sees the man in need. He gets off of his own animal. You know, he gets down in the dirt. He kneels down to get dirty. He wipes up the man's cuts and his scrapes and, you know, no doubt gets blood on himself. I mean, I don't know about you guys. That doesn't sound like a good way to spend an afternoon to me. But humility requires putting our own needs aside and looking to the needs of others. And that's exactly what the Samaritan does. You know, we live in a culture that we love ourselves, right? T.O. was a football player a few years ago. He tried to coin the phrase, actually, I love me some me. And that pretty much describes how a lot of us are. I mean, we like to take pictures of ourselves. We are just very mindful about taking care of our own needs first, right? You know, if the Good Samaritan story happened today, I have no doubt that people would stop and help. Some people, after they bandaged him up, would probably pull out their phone and, you know, take a selfie, hashtag mugged. And they would do that, but that's just how we are, right? And it's not just that. I mean, I'm definitely guilty of this. This week, I was in town. I was taking care of some things for the church and was planning on coming back that afternoon to work on some different things. And my plans changed. I ended up having to go to Joplin. And I had about a 20-minute window that if I was going to eat some lunch, that was the time I had to do it in. So I was like, all right, I can definitely eat a burger in 20 minutes. That's not a problem. Well, I pull into Burger King. It's one of those times where, like, I pull in, and there's a car that comes in about, you know, 5 seconds behind me. And as I get out of my car, I take a few steps, and in my mind, this is my thought process. I'm judging how far I am from the door compared to how far these people are from the door. And I'm thinking, I'm already moving. You know, I've got some momentum going in my way. And I'm going to beat these people to the door. And I wish I could say that made me happy because I was like, I can beat them. I can open the door for them. That's not what happened. My thought was, hey, I get to eat before those people. This is a good day. How selfish am I? I mean, I care about getting a burger that's not that good 5 seconds before someone else. And that's the thing about love in action. It makes us forget about our own needs and focus on the needs of others. We put aside what's best for us to focus on what other people need. The next truth about love is that love in action takes us to places we don't want to be. And what I mean by that is, man, it can take you into some dangerous situations. It can take you into messy situations, uncomfortable places that we would just rather not go to. I mean, you look at the Samaritan, this road that Jesus is telling his audience about, they would have understood that this road was a road that was very common for thieves and muggers to be at. The road had a nickname in that time. It was called the Pass of Blood because that's what happened. When you were on that road, there was a good chance harm was going to come. And the Samaritan, he takes that risk. He doesn't not stop because, hey, there's a chance that the guys that mug this person are just waiting for me. No, he stops and takes care of the guy. Whenever I was in college, a professor showed up at the dorms one day. And this is weird because Bible college, I mean, it's different anyway. We had a pretty good relationship with our professors, but they didn't want to come to the dorms. I mean, most people probably wouldn't. But he shows up one day, and he comes into my room. I was an RA at the time, so there was usually a couple guys hanging out in my room anyway. And that was the case. So when he saw three or four of us hanging out, he just popped in and sat on the couch. And as people kind of realized that he was around, more people started coming in. And he said, "Hey, here's why I came down. I need to go to a funeral tomorrow, and I just want someone to go with me." A few guys, you know, are like, "Well, I've got class in the afternoon and different things." Most people that were there had other obligations. I didn't, and so I felt like, all right, I'll go with you. So the next day we're driving. He fills me in. He's like, "Hey, it's kind of a rough funeral. The guy was only in his 40s. He passed away, you know, way before his time, unexpected. The family is, you know, understandably pretty shaken up about this." So I was like, okay, we'll get in there. And as soon as we walked in the room, it was by far the most emotional funeral I've ever been to. The family was, I mean, just weeping during this whole time. Some other circumstances just made it very different. It lasted about three times as long as a normal funeral. And there's some other stuff going on. And just an extremely uncomfortable afternoon. I don't even know that I said anything to the family. You know, I was just there. The professor talked to him. I might have said something, but really didn't offer much in that sort of thing. Well, a few weeks later, the professor found me and he said, "Hey, I've talked to the family, you know, and they're doing a lot better. You know, they're dealing and coping and everything." He said, "They wanted me to thank you for going to the funeral with me." I said, I didn't even say anything. I don't even know that they knew I was there. He said, "No, they noticed, because for some punk college kid to take time out of his afternoon to go to a funeral just for the sake of sharing in someone's hurt with them and meeting them where they're at and mourning with them, you know, it made an impact on him." That's how love in action is. We might not want to be in the messes of people's lives. You know, we don't like to think about those or talk about those. We've got our own things going on, but love in action meets people where they're hurting. It says, "Look, I'm going to cry with you, and I'm going to mourn with you, and I'm going to love you because I have a Savior who's done the same thing for me." This is the last truth. Love in action is a love that the world doesn't understand. What I mean by that, the world doesn't know what love that sacrifices is all about. They don't know what love that is humble is all about. They don't know what love that gets into people's lives and hurts with them. They don't understand what that is. Tony Campolo is a preacher who tells a story that one time he was in Hawaii. He had flown from the East Coast to Honolulu. There's a major time difference. And so at 3 in the morning, he's awake. He can't go to sleep. And so he just figures, "I'm going to get something to eat. There's no point to just lay here awake." And the only place he can find is this little diner. So he sits down and orders a cup of coffee and orders a donut. And as he's there, like 8 prostitutes walk into the diner. And they sit on the counter next to him. And they just start doing their normal thing. You know, they come in every night. This is where they eat. So they're just sitting there. And one of them, the one that's sitting right next to him, strikes up this conversation, actually, with the lady next to him and says, "Hey, tomorrow's my birthday." And the lady that she's talking to says, "So what? Do you want me to throw you a party or something?" And she says, "No, I'm 39 years old. I've never had a birthday party before, so I don't expect you to throw me one." And the way that Tony Campolo puts it, he said, at that point, He was got. He knew that he was going to do something about this. So they leave, and he calls the guy behind the counter over. His name is Harry. He says, "Hey, Harry, do those ladies come in here every night?" I said, "Yeah, every night." I said, "And the one that was sitting next to me?" I said, "Yeah, her name's Agnes. She's with them every night." He says, "Hey, why don't we throw them a birthday party? Throw Agnes a birthday party." And Harry's like, "Yeah, that sounds awesome. Let's do it." So they set it up. Campolo's going to bring some streamers and a big banner, and they're going to decorate the place, and Harry's going to take care of the cake, and they're going to get the word out to Agnes's friends, who were just other prostitutes in Honolulu, and they're going to have this birthday party at this diner at 3 o'clock in the morning. So they show up, the place is decorated, there's the cake ready, and everyone's ready to scream happy birthday when she walks in the door. And the door flies open, and Agnes walks in, and everyone screams, "Happy birthday, Agnes!" And she just stands there, and there's silence. She doesn't have any sort of reaction. And finally, after a couple minutes, Harry says, "Agnes, let's cut your cake." And Agnes says, "Hey, well, could I take the cake with me?" And, you know, Tony Campolo says, "It's your cake. You can do it with whatever you want." And she starts to pick it up, and he's like, "You meant like right now? Like you don't want to wait till the end of the party?" And she's like, "I just live 2 doors away. Let me take it and show it to my mom, and then I'm going to come back, and, you know, we can eat some cake." So she leaves and takes the cake, and everyone else is confused because they've never been to a birthday party where the person that they were throwing it for takes the cake and leaves like 5 minutes in. So they don't really know what to do at this point. And Tony Campolo just says, "Hey, let's pray." And so he prays that, you know, God would just work on Agnes's heart. And he said when he opened his eyes, Harry, the guy behind the diner, was like right in his face. He says, "Hey, Campolo, you never told me you were a preacher." He said, yeah, I'm a preacher. He said, "Well, what kind of church do you go to anyway?" He said, it was one of those moments where, you know, he just thought, that's a good answer. Like, the words came to his mind as he was saying them. He's like, "Yeah, this is smart. Like, this is a good answer." He said, "I go to the church that throws parties for prostitutes at 3 in the morning." And his response, Harry's response, was one that he said he'd never forget. He said, "No, you don't." He said, "If there's a church like that, I would go there." I think that's true. I think a lot of people, when they see what love looks like, when they see love in action the way that it's supposed to be, when they see it sacrificing and being humble and getting into people's lives, they don't know what to do because the only explanation is that Jesus is behind it all. Real quick, looking back at the Good Samaritan, and we're going to close in a few minutes. Jesus tells the story, and then he says, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" The man said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus says this, "Go and do likewise." He doesn't say, "Hey, you know what? I just told you this really good story. Why don't you go tell all your friends? Share this story with them, because it's a good one." He doesn't say, "Go home and think about for the next 4 or 5 days how, yeah, I probably really should show people love." That's not what he says. He says, "Go and do likewise. Go and do something about it. Put your love into action. Show people that you love them." And we are a church that believes we are called to do that. We believe we are called to lift others. And as Tim kind of alluded to earlier, that's what we're going to do. Next week, if you come, we're going to have some envelopes for you. People, if you want to accept this, you could do it on your own. You could offer what we have. These envelopes are going to be up front here, and they're going to have some money in them. And we want you to take this and go show people love. Maybe that is going to Walmart and paying for someone's groceries. Maybe that is buying a coat for a kid that you know in a few weeks probably isn't going to have a winter coat, or school supplies for someone who, you know, might not have them already this year, or helping your neighbor, or whatever the case may be. You guys know the needs of the people around you. So we want to give you the chance to do that. And maybe you take this and you add your own money to it. Maybe you just do it on your own. It's whatever you want to do. But this week, we would like you to be praying about who God may be calling you to show love to. Pray that God would put someone on your heart that needs some love shown to them. Because love is a lot more than just a feeling or saying some words. Love demands that we act. God, you are amazing. Amen. And we are just so thankful that you loved us all the way to a cross. God, you are our example of what love and action should look like. And so we pray that we can be a people who fulfill that. God, we pray that we are a people who show others the love that you've shown to us. God, we thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.